Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Funeral. It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I was fairly astonished to read in the Wisconsin State Journal the headline at the top of the front page: Biden advances to 9-point lead. Trump may need to quickly snatch support beyond his base, which is a completely absurd and indefensible report on the status of the campaign taking place today. I mean, look, we know, for example, that the man who turned up for the second and final debate, who was the same man who turned up for the first, is an imposter. He's a Biden body double. The clues are very much unmistakable, especially because Joe Biden has earlobes. This guy does not. Joe Biden has a relatively smooth chin with a slight dimple when he smiles. This guy has a clearly dimpled chin. Joe Biden has a fairly normal size of skull. This guy has a narrower size of skull. He's a more diminutive version of Joe Biden. I thought during the campaign the contrast was simply stunning visually, when you could see this larger man, very robust, very energetic, in command of the issues, versus this more frail-looking figure who really didn't seem to be quite on top of the issue, but unquestionably more cognitively competent than the original guy, the real guy, Joe Biden, whom we learned from a member of the staff is suffering from incontinence as a consequence of his anti-dementia medication, where they've actually had staff meetings to decide what type of adult diaper he ought to be wearing, where They wanted to make sure it wasn't visible through his clothing and wouldn't crinkle when he urinates. I'm convinced, therefore, that Joe Biden has a future after politics making commercials for Depends, and where it appears when the Trump campaign declined the request they had made for a break every 30 minutes because Joe can't go for 90 without having to have his diaper changed. They went with Plan B and put out the double. But it's completely outrageous. I wasn't surprised at all when he showed up again for the second debate. Now, we have days before the Trump-Biden election, a more reasonable and responsible report from Gateway Pundit showing Trump is leaking away Biden's support. This certainly appears to be the case. There are lots of reasons for thinking it, including the Rasmussen Report daily presidential tracking poll for Thursday was showing 52% of likely U.S. voters were approving of President Trump's job performance. And, of course, it's gone up since then with his masterful performance at the debate. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is confusing President Trump with George Bush. Four more years of George. It's a fairly stunning development, but not surprising if you're paying attention to what's actually going on here. 77-year-old Joe Biden Sunday evening participated in a virtual event after calling a lid all day just the last 9 days until election. It didn't go well. Biden confused President Trump with former President George Bush. What kind of country we're going to be? Four more years of clearly he forgot who is the president. We're going to find ourselves in a position where if Trump gets elected, we're going to be in a different world. Notice his handler wife, Jill, tries to help Biden a little as he struggles to remember Trump's name. Now, if you thought that was bad, get this. Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, has had Hunter's laptop from hell since December and kept it as a secret from President Trump. This is really pretty shocking. Department of Justice source tells us that FBI dropped the investigation of the Hunter Biden laptop because they did not believe the repair shop owner's story would hold up in court, even though Mac Isaac provided them with evidence. They found zero evidence of foreign involvement. Now, this is what Ray has to get around how he handled questions like this. And notice the stunning parallel. Back before the 2000 election, when James Comey was the FBI director, the Anthony Weiner laptop had come into the possession of the NYPD. You had a dozen hard, experienced officers who were reduced to tears by the grotesque material they found there. And yet James Comey went on television and say no responsible prosecutor would pursue it when the facts were precisely the opposite. So to do a variation on the theme, it turns out Christopher Wray hasn't pursued it, even though we have a mass of evidence to substantiate it, which I shall pursue in greater detail as we proceed today. Meanwhile, Joe Biden, one of the great gaffes of his campaign during the debate, finally admits he wants to end the oil industry. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden admitted Thursday night's final presidential debate he's going to end the oil industry if elected president. Would you close down the oil industry? President Trump pressed just before the closing statements. I would transition from the oil industry, yes, Biden replied. When asked by debate moderator Kristen Welker, who, by the way, did a pretty good job, to clarify his statement, Biden claimed he wants to shut down the oil industry because it pollutes significantly and needs to be replaced by renewable energy over time. That's a big statement, Trump said, slamming Biden for his bold proclamation And by the way, at this point, Kristen Welker was already trying to get him to move on to another issue, but he persisted very appropriately, very tellingly. This might even have been Joe's biggest gaffe, or should I say Joe's double's biggest gaffe of the evening. That may be the biggest statement in terms of business, Trump said. Basically, what he is saying is he is going to destroy the oil industry. Will you remember that, Texas? Will you remember that, Pennsylvania, Oklahoma, Ohio? Biden then criticized Trump for subsidizing the oil industry. I stopped giving the oil industry federal subsidies, Biden said. He won't give federal subsidies to solar and wind. Why are we giving it to the oil industry? We actually do give solar and wind, Trump said, correcting Biden. Earlier in the debate, Biden had lied about banning fracking, claiming he had never opposed it. I do rule out banning fracking because we need other industries to get ultimately to complete zero emissions by 2025, he said. Fracking on federal land, I said, no fracking on federal land, but his efforts to scrub his previous statement were made in vain. Trump, however, fact-checked Biden on the debate stage over his comments. Excuse me. He was against fracking. He said it, Trump pointed out. I'll show it to you tomorrow. Until he got the nomination, went to Pennsylvania. But you know what, Pennsylvania? He'll be against it very soon because his party is against it. Where Trump, of course, is 100% correct. I've seen the video. We have their ads on television. Trump, Biden both claiming he's for fracking and claiming he is against fracking and claiming he never said he was against fracking. And then you see him again declaring he's going to end fracking, 100% guarantee. Trump is correct. Despite Biden's claim, both he and his running mate, Kamala Harris, have declared they want to ban fracking. Here is Kamala Harris during a CNN town hall. There's no question I am in favor of banning fracking. She is running on the ticket with Joe Biden, as we all know. Biden only recently changed his position on the issue during a campaign visit to Pennsylvania. Biden discusses his energy plan. This is a tweet from CBS. I am not banning fracking. Let me say that again. I am not banning fracking. No matter how many times Donald Trump lies about me. Well, let me just say this is a curious case for me because I actually think fracking is a bad thing. Fracking contaminates water sources, contaminates wells. It's left whole communities without a water supply. So I think that's very, very bad. Meanwhile, Jill Biden breaks her silence about Hunter. The American people don't want to hear these smears against my family. Now, bear in mind, smears are false claims that are intended as ad hominem attacks, but which aren't substantial. They aren't accurate. They are not true. So we have to ask exactly, which are the smears, and which are not? Here she says on The View, Dr. Biden calls President Trump's personal attacks against her husband, Joe Biden, and family distractions. This election is about the American people. The American people don't want to hear these smears against my family. And yet we know that although the Biden campaign has denied it, Joe Biden met with his son's business partner from Kazakhstan. There in the country with Joe, we have the photograph to prove it. On October 14th, the New York Post dealt a devastating blow to the Biden campaign. The newspaper revealed many of Hunter's shady business dealings, including one accusation that his father, Joe, met with his foreign business partners while vice president. When the accusations came to light, the Biden team denied a meeting between the former vice president and any of Hunter's business associates took place. To be precise, they claimed it wasn't on his formal schedule. But a meeting like this isn't one you would put on your formal schedule. On October 21st, a photo destroyed that narrative. The picture shows a Democratic nominee, his son, Kazakhstan oligarch Kanes Rakashev, and the country's former prime minister, Kerim Mizov, together. There it is. There's the photograph. I'm looking at it right now. So, Joe Biden, is this a smear against your family? Is this something that the American public don't want to know? Namely, that your husband, who is a Democratic nominee for president, is lying about his involvement in his son Hunter's business propositions. Meanwhile, as though matters couldn't get worse, China's GTV has released videos of Hunter Biden's sex tapes while smoking crack. And I am given to understand there are quite a few of these, where GTV is a Chinese channel in Mandarin, where they're releasing the videos because they're upset about globalism and opposing it. And to be delicate about it, this is Joe Biden. This is Hunter Biden nude smoking crack and getting, shall we say, a massage from the feet of a Chinese girl, it appears. But there are a host of others of these. This is scandalous beyond words. So, Jill, I ask, is this another smear against your family? Is this another, false and malicious attempt? I mean, we got Hunter on tape, smoking crack, engaged in these sex acts. Here's another, Jill. I want to know how you feel about this. The conservative news web National File was the first to break the discovery of Virginia Governor Ralph Northam in blackface in college and of extramarital affairs by North Carolina Democrat Senate nominee Cal Huntingham, but may have its biggest blockbuster of all. Reporter Patrick Howley says he has obtained a copy of the diary of Ashley Biden, daughter of Democratic presidential nominee Joe, in which he allegedly describes showers with my dad, which were probably not appropriate. Probably not appropriate. Probably not appropriate, yes. And we know Joe's predilection for fondling young girls. We know how, after he swore in Christopher Coons as a new senator from Delaware, where Joe himself had in the past been the senior senator for Delaware, he leaned over to Chris Coons' daughter and said to her, which was picked up by the mic, and where I watched it when it happens, "Do you have any idea how horny it makes me to be standing next to a 13-year-old girl?" Now, Jill, you have to know your husband's predilection for fondling young girls. Tell me, is this another smear against the Biden family? Is this another disgraceful act that ought to be condemned because the American people don't want to hear these smears against my family? Jill, when are you going to come clean? You know this guy you're running around the country with now is not your husband, Joe. This is getting pretty embarrassing, Jill. I not only detected that this wasn't Joe Biden participating in the debate, but I went about searching for family photographs. And when you see Joe and you walking along, you're both very cheerful. Joe has a big smile on his face. You're usually holding his hand or holding his arm, and you are delighted. You are even glowing. We now have photographs of you with this body double, Jill. However, you're not smiling. You're not glowing. You don't have hand in hand with Joe because, of course, it isn't Joe. You don't have your hand around his arm, and he doesn't have a big smile like Joe Biden. This is completely outrageous. It appears as long ago as June of 2019, they were trying out this body double because the president was already then reporting. Now, I have to tell you, he's a different guy. He looks different than he used to. He acts different than he used to. He's even slower than he used to be. And I'll tell you, there are reasons why from these debates we can tell even behaviorally it's not Joe Biden. Because Joe Biden used a double Windsor when he tied his tie. This new guy, this body double, uses a single Windsor. We know Joe Biden has a skull implant. It's so he doesn't need a wire to receive offstage instructions on what he ought to say. But the body double doesn't have the skull implant, and during the first debate, and no doubt the second, though I haven't verified that as well, he was wearing a wire. So already back in June of 2019, there were comments on this tweet. Sounds like POTUS is doing a soft disclosure by discussing how Joe seems like a different guy, not the same. Wait till everyone learns about the cloning. Well, it's not actually cloning. It's simply a body double. But Hillary did this before, too. There's a long history in the Democratic Party of perpetrating a fraud on the American people. Hillary, after her collapse following the 9/11 memorial, actually was taken back to Chelsea's apartment, a new apartment Chelsea didn't really need. She already had a magnificent apartment in Manhattan, but this one had the advantage of having a private hospital attached as a part of it. They closed the hospital, so it would have only one patient, Hillary Clinton. After they took her back to Chelsea's apartment and to the clinic, they were worried that the public would become concerned about the state of Hillary's health. So in a desperate measure, they sent out a body double, younger, thinner, more attractive, and completely unlike Hillary, pleasant, whom I regard as the Meg Ryan double because she reminds me so much of one of my favorite actresses. Just a couple of days later, they had a different body double, shorter, a bit heavier, with a more sloped forehead that I refer to as the Meg Ryan double. I have documented all of this in a piece entitled False Flags, Issues of Identity, which you can find both at 153news.net, but also on BitChute. Just search for it for the title. You not only find Hillary's use of body doubles documented in spades, but you'll learn how we know that Lee Oswald was in the doorway of the Texas Book Depository when JFK's motorcade passed by, meaning that not only can he have not been the lone demented gunman, he cannot have even been one of the shooters, where we have now identified 8, 6 of them by name, rank, and serial number, only Domegard, the 7th, with which I agree. So we only have one remaining shooter who is on the opposite side of the grassy knoll behind that single tree, where I've now seen 2 photographs of the shooter holding his rifle, one in the hands of Ed Tatro, another in the hands of Rick Russo, confirming he was there. He's the only one for whom we do not know what agency or organization sponsoring the event he was representing, but it might have been the Fed, because we already have a Dallas deputy sheriff, a Dallas police officer with ties to the CIA, an Air Force expert representing the military, an anti-Castro Cuban in the Daltex, a soldier of fortune who was, I would suggest, representing the mob, another who was firing from the book depository, namely Lyndon Johnson's personal hitman, Malcolm Mack Wallace, who murdered a dozen people for Lyndon Johnson, including his own sister because she was too talkative. Stunning stuff. You'll find Lee Oswald wasn't among the shooters. You'll also find a review of the Paul McCartney replacement by a man who looked a lot like him but was 4 inches taller, had different teeth, a different palate, and a different shape and size of skull, just like the Joe Biden body double has a different shape of skull than Joe Biden himself. You'll also learn about Hillary's how they faked the kids at Sandy Hook, where Noah Pazer the younger, you'll see how we have proven that he was made out of photographs of an older child when he was younger. In this case, the person who's supposed to be his older stepbrother, Michael Vabner. You'll see cast iron proof, in my opinion, the most devastating proof that Sandy Hook was an elaborate hoax, where Ramon Alexis Presley has even turned up reasons to believe some of the parents actually used photographs of themselves when they were children. It's outrageous. And then you'll see Hillary. They even use a Hillary body double, younger, thinner, more attractive, in the debate with Bernie Sanders on the one hand, and subsequently in the debate with Donald Trump. I have no doubt this encouraged them to go with a body double for Joe Biden, where they were desperate because of his incontinence and because of his cognitive failures, where now we have the Luciferians who need to be locked up and tried, according to some tweets, calling them creepy and sleepy, the two different Biden representatives. It's outrageous. There's massive evidence of this fraud. There needs to be a lawsuit brought, and I hope one will be immediately, for fraud in this election. Were Joe Biden to be, by some miracle of miracles, elected president, which I don't believe for a second is going to take place, I believe we're going to have a landslide for Trump, there would be legal reason here to have the election nullified by virtue of campaign fraud perpetrated by the Biden campaign organization, where Jill, bless her soul, knows perfectly damn well it must be quite humiliating for her to be out on the campaign when this guy who's not her husband is mistaking Donald Trump for George Bush during a public appearance, and she's trying to cover up, claiming that all these revelations about her family, the corruption, including Joe having taken showers with his young daughter, about Hunter smoking crack and getting foot jobs. I mean, it's all disgusting beyond belief. And of course, Joe performing the kinds of financial benefits to his son he's denied doing, which was another of the massive blunders he committed during the second debate. We got the break coming up, but before we get there, I'll add more. Codename Project Hansen. Insider documents reveal how Hunter Biden associates helped the Chinese military acquire a Michigan dual-use manufacturer. In September of 2015, the Obama-Biden administration, and get that Obama part, because he was involved in this too, approved the sale of a strategically sensitive Michigan manufacturer, Henny's Automotive, to a firm connected to Joe's son, Hunter, and a Chinese military contractor on an American watch list. We'll be right back.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hand of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point on Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, if you're paying attention to all these activities, they're pretty disgusting. Hunter Biden's equity fund, backed by the communist Chinese government and the Chinese contractor, Aviation Industry Corporation, AVIC, needed special approval for the deal from the Committee of Foreign Investments in the U.S. because Hennig's produced technology with potential military use. In fact, it turns out that AVIC entities have been sanctioned by the United States on five separate occasions since 1993, and the addition to the watch list, a major red flag, occurred less than a year and a half before they co-purchased Hennig's with a Biden-led Chinese joint venture known as Bohai Harvest RST. The fact that this CFIUS, which is the Foreign Committee on Foreign Investments, approved the deal is alarming, given that Hennig's owns numerous facilities in the U.S. that are now controlled by a Chinese military front company. I mean, pretty bad. Not only that, but get this, Kamala Harris has been listed as a key contact for the Biden family business venture in China, along with a multiplicity of other Democrats. A list of key domestic contacts for a joint venture involving Jim and Hunter Biden, where Jim is Joe's brother, Hunter's uncle, and now bankrupt CEFC, China Energy Company, included former Vice President Joe Biden's current running mate, Senator Kamala Harris, among other prominent Democrats. In an email obtained by Fox News with a subject line, Phase One Domestic Contacts Projects, dated 15 May 2017, Biden's brother Jim shared a list of key domestic contacts for Phase One target projects. Listen to this. These are people who are getting their pockets lined by the Chinese government. The list included Harris, Senate Minority Leader Schirmer, Amy Klobuchar, Dianne Feinstein, Kirsten Gillibrand, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, and former Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe, who, by the way, was instrumental in orchestrating the stage events at Charlottesville. I mean, this is embarrassingly bad. I suppose Jill would tell us that this is just more smears against her family. On Wednesday, by the way, Breitbart reported one of the recipients of Hunter Biden's emails, Tony Bobulinski, confirmed that the big guy, where they're holding 10% of the equity in a new firm for the big guy, was a reference to Joe Biden himself. Bobulinski also said, "I've seen Vice President Biden saying he never talked to Hunter about his business. I've seen firsthand that's not true, because it wasn't just Hunter's business. They said they were putting the Biden family name and its legacy on the line." Breitbart contributor Peter Schweitzer noted recently in his book, Profiles in Corruption, Abuse of Power by America's Progressive Elite, that Biden's relatives often traded on his name to make money abroad. Quoting, "The Biden family partners are often foreign governments where the deals occur in the dark corners of international finance, like Kazakhstan, China, Costa Rica, Jamaica, Ukraine, and Russia. Some deals have even involved U.S. taxpayer money. The cast of characters include sketchy companies, violent convicted felons, foreign oligarchs, and other people who typically expect favors in return. The Biden family's apparent self-enrichment depends on Joe Biden's political influence and involves no less than five family members: Joe's son Hunter, daughter Ashley, brothers James and Frank, and sister Valerie. The Bidens leverage political power not only for generating deals, but also for the opportunities to quietly develop the financial resources of wealthy friends for the benefit of the family. Friends that help the Bidens can count on Joe to grant them governmental favors. This guy is really monstrous." Meanwhile, the public isn't responding favorably to the Democratic ticket. Kamala Harris went to North Carolina and was greeted by a half a dozen, not more than a dozen, supporters. And what's interesting is this was in Asheville, where one of our commentators on Need to Know, Michael Ivey, is from Asheville, which is rather an enclave of liberal support in North Carolina, and that she only got a handful of supporters is very telling. Wednesday's address was billed as her return to a state closely contested between the parties, where, including a Senate race, where incumbent Senator Tom Tillis is facing Democrat Cal Cunningham, who just was exposed with another sex scandal of his own. Pretty fascinating stuff. Meanwhile, there's some interesting political cartoons out there that I think capture what's going on here. Here's one with Joe Biden with a kind of a cart that's a half of an automobile being pulled by a donkey. "I told them I'd shut down the oil industry, and they're both wearing masks. Remember, Joe has promised to make a mask mandate mandatory across the entire nation, even though those who have looked into the matter, those who have read the expert reports, so masks not only don't help, but they kill brain cells, because you're rebreathing oxygen-depleted air and killing your brain cells, putting a strain on your cardiovascular system. The leading expert in the area has actually described this as a crime to have children or adolescents wear masks, because their brains need oxygen to grow and to develop. Meanwhile, Truthout is doing a masterful job of projection. This is one of the well-known, along with Common Dreams, liberal websites that's promoting propaganda. Listen to this, friends. "I am genuinely afraid. While Trump's prospects of a legitimate victory may be weak, the GOP remains relentless in its plot to steal the election, with plans to bypass the popular vote in key states if necessary, and to invalidate absentee ballots en masse. The Republicans are beating a lawless path to authoritarianism, and they are doing it in plain sight. Like many of you, I am also concerned about my safety, because we cannot know when or how right-wing violence will manifest itself. We only know that it's coming and that chaos will be the primary objective of its perpetrators. They want us to panic and cower. They want to replace our shared reality with a right-wing fever dream. But people of conscience will combat Trump's fascist unreality, and we are determined to arm them with Trump's greatest weakness, the truth. Trump relies on the circus of the 24-hour news cycle to wash away old scandals from one day to the next and keep people's heads spinning while the Republicans do their worst. This is unbelievable. I mean, the reversal of reality is palpable. I believe, actually, the Democrats threw away their prospects for 2020 when, during their virtual convention, 4 days, 2 hours a day, they never addressed urban violence, which they'd been supporting and egging on from the beginning. Antifa and Black Lives Matter, which have created chaos across the country, most notably in cities like Portland and Seattle, but also elsewhere, including cities even like New York, where de Blasio has defunded the police, taking out 600 undercover cops who are doing their best to prevent crimes from occurring, and where their complete failure to address the issues, I think, was a major blow to their prospects, where we know, and as I have repeatedly reported, if you look into Black Lives Matter, it turns out donations to Black Lives Matter go to Act Blue, which is a Democrat fundraising site, and into the pockets of Amy Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, Beto O'Rourke. I mean, it's just disgusting. These riots, this lawlessness has all been promoted by the Democrats. It's been left-wing violence, not right. And this is completely outrageous, where the media are promoting left-wing propaganda day after day after day. This is about as disgusting and misleading a report as one could possibly have. Here's a nice image that recommends you see Kamala Harris and Joe Biden sitting there with masks, and in the background, you see a city going up in flames. You see police cars that have been trashed with a sign, "We approve this message." Indeed, they do. Just don't let yourself be played. Meanwhile, revealed, Hunter Biden firm partner with an arm of the Chinese military. Rosemont Realty, an offshoot of Hunter Biden's Rosemont Seneca Partners consulting firm, was acquired by a Chinese Communist Party-backed firm identified as a thinly veiled arm of the Chinese military by a U.S. congressional task force. In 2015, the Chinese company Gemini Investments acquired a controlling stake in Rosemont Realty, a sister company of the Rosemont Seneca firm Hunter Biden founded in 2009. The Chinese firm pledged $3 billion for commercial office property acquisitions in the U.S., in other words, allowing the firm to control major swaths of American real estate. This was a very large-scale operation, by the way. Sino-Ocean Group is a branch of Osco Shipping, a controversial Shanghai-based logistics company labeled a thinly veiled arm of the Chinese military by a task force of the U.S. House of Representatives. What's more, 11 of its 13 executives boast of their high-level Chinese party affiliations on Costco's website. Beyond inking deals with a hostile foreign government, the deal also gave the Chinese Communist Party unfettered access and control over the company's real estate portfolio of 33 properties with a total of 56 buildings, totaling approximately 8 million square feet, located in 13 states. The practice turns out to be common for Chinese Communist Party-linked businesses, and per the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission, functions as the primary avenue for predatory and national security endangering acquisitions of American property by the Chinese Communist Party. According to the Commission's 2019 summary, these efforts are often made at the direction of and with assistance from the Chinese government. part of Beijing's larger effort to develop its domestic market and become a global leader in a wide range of technologies. These acquisition attempts frequently target advanced technologies such as artificial intelligence, biotechnology, and virtual reality, which are still in the early stages of development but could provide dual military and civilian capabilities in the future. In the words of President Trump, the Bidens got rich while America got robbed, and while doing so, risked America's national security. And we have ample reason to believe it. We have photographs, including of Seneca Chairman Hunter Biden with leaders of these Chinese investment groups, right there, photographic evidence. Joe Biden, is that more effort to smear your family? Meanwhile, Jim Biden, Hunter's uncle, wasn't very happy with Tony Bobulinski when he revealed what was going on. Hunter associate and whistleblower Tony Bobulinski found out in the Senate report that Jim Biden and Hunter went behind his back and did a shady $5 million side deal with a Chinese energy firm, CEFC. Tony Bobulinski is the CEO of Sinohawk Holdings, a partnership between the Chinese operating through CEFC Chairman Yi and the Biden family. As previously reported, a top Chinese official emailed Tony on 26 July 2017 proposing a $5 million interest-free loan and possible subsequent loans. The Chinese official asked Tony, how will the $5 million be used? This $5 million is interest-free. But if the $5 million is used up, should CEFC keep lending more money to the family? Less than 2 weeks later, on August 8, 2017, $5 million was wired from a CEFC-affiliated investment vehicle to the bank account for Hudson West 3, which spent the next year transferring $4,790,375 directly to Hunter Biden's firm, Owasco, according to the Senate documents. Senate investigators described how the Chinese state-owned energy company wired the $5 million loan to Hunter's firm through an investment vehicle to a bank account for Hudson West III, which then dispersed the money to Hunter's firm as a form of money laundering. Tony learned about it from the Senate report, and it pissed him off. He decided to call Jim Biden about the $5 million side deal with CEFC, and Jim Biden said to him, go F yourself, and hung up the phone. Well, that's nice. Is that more smears at your family, Jill Biden? I mean, Jill, you're really not qualified to be even the second lady of the United States, much less the first. Meanwhile, the Biden daughter's diary details not appropriate showers with Joe as a child. This is another embarrassing case where National File has obtained what a whistleblower has obtained as a copy of the complete diary of Ashley Blazer Biden. Here are some comments about it. Oh boy, this is sickening. Now we see why Biden kisses his granddaughter the way he does. And I really worry she is trapped in some kind of sick cult-like environment. Imagine the living hell she's in every day of her life. What a sick, sad world. Another. There are many internet videos that show Biden fondling little girls. Here's the proof. Biden is a pedo, but so far Trump has not used it. Another. Something not normal, perverted, has definitely been happening in that family. Another. Like son, like father. Another. Nail in coffin for Biden. However, my heart goes out to Ashley. It seems like she really went through a lot. I hope she has found inner peace. Another. But, this is Russian disinfo. Not really, just standard Jewish filth. Another. And media silent as always. Here's a longer commentary. You know that bit about having all you desire and being able to manifest your dreams? Seems awfully reminiscent of some of the spirit cooking writings tied to Abramoff and Podesta. That would be John, who appears to be pedophile in chief. Abramoff monitored Lady Gaga, and one of the things she supposedly did to her was drop her off naked in the woods and tell her to find her way back. Between things like the movie Eyes Wide Shut, Project Monarch, Bohemian Grove, and Pop Stars, there have been many allusions to occult sexual practices among the rich and famous. One has to wonder if to gain power, you have to deliver human capital to the power brokers in the form of depraved deeds, potentially with family members. I mean, it's weird that the journal mentions things with cousin Caroline, inappropriate showers with Joe. Have you had the infamous photo of Joe and his granddaughter kissing each other's full on the lips while the granddaughter raises her skirt? It really seems like something is not right in the House of Biden if both the son and daughter have problems with addiction. What were they exposed to where they felt the need to cope in this way? Another. Biden says incest is a game the whole family can play. Another. Yeah, can't say I'm surprised in the least. This is all very disgusting stuff. Meanwhile, the president has announced a peace deal between the Sudan and Israel and says more nations will normalize relations. President Trump on Friday announced a peace deal that would normalize ties between Israel and Sudan, claiming there would be many more peace deals to come in the Middle East. Trump invited reporters into the Oval Office while he was on the phone with leaders of Israel and Sudan to discuss the latest U.S. brokered deal in the run-up to Election Day. 3 months ago, no one thought this was possible. Even Bibi didn't know if it was possible. Right, Bibi? Trump asked his ally, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Trump said Sudan had demonstrated a commitment to battling terrorism. This is one of the great days in the history of Sudan, Trump added, adding that Israel and Sudan have been in a state of war for decades. This is a new world, Netanyahu said over the phone. We are cooperating with everyone, building a better future for all of us. Trump even said Iran would someday normalize relations with Israel. Iran ultimately will become a member of this whole thing. Look, someday I'd love to help get Iran back on track. They've gone from a rich country to a poor country in 3 years, but they can't have nuclear weapons. It's always death to Israel. That's all they shout. So they can't have nuclear weapons. Unfortunately, on that account, Trump has been played because most of us are aware that it was a deliberate false mistranslation of a statement made by the then Iranian prime minister that this too shall pass, meaning the Zionist regime in Tel Aviv, not death to Israel. Not that Israel must be abolished. That has not been the Iranian position. These recent recognitions of Israel have undermined the traditional Arab consensus that there can be no normalization with Israel before the establishment of an independent Palestinian state. The Palestinians regard the recognitions as betrayal, while Israel says the Palestinians have lost what they have seen as their veto over regional peace efforts. Netanyahu has made it a priority to forge ties with formerly hostile countries in Africa and the Arab world in the absence of any progress with the Palestinians during his more than a decade in office. The deal with Sudan will include aid and investment from Israel, particularly in technology and agriculture, along with further debt relief. It comes as Sudan and the transitional government teeter on the edge. Thousands have protested in the country's capital and other regions in recent days over their dire economic conditions. Meanwhile, MBS said he would be killed by his own people if Riyadh were to normalize ties with Israel. This is pretty striking. Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman told Israeli-American billionaire Hayam Sabah he would fear for his life if he struck a normalization deal with Israel, Haaretz, a noted Israeli newspaper, has published. The Saudi crown prince, also known by his initials, MBS, said following in the steps of the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain, would get him killed by Iran, by Qatar, and by my own people. The entertainment mogul made the claim at a pro-Biden online campaign rally event on Wednesday entitled Israel Security and Prosperity in a Biden White House, hosted by Florida for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Must have had a pretty paltry turnout, no doubt. On Friday, President Trump said he expected Saudi Arabia to also agree to closer ties with Israel in the coming months, but that may be less likely. Nevertheless, there is another significant development, namely that there has been a war breaking out between Armenia and Azerbaijan, which, because of its crucial location in the Middle East, is of a particularly sensitive character. Meanwhile, just today, we got breaking news. President Trump has negotiated a ceasefire between Armenia and Azerbaijan. Here's the source, Department of State, U.S.-Armenia-Azerbaijan joint statement from the United States Department of State. I think there are good reasons here to believe that Donald Trump has been worthy of his nomination for the Nobel Peace Prize. Compare him to Barack Obama, which turned out to be a joke. Not only had Obama done nothing to qualify, but he did nothing in the aftermath to deserve such an accolade. Very, very embarrassing, very shocking, very disappointing. I'm telling you, it's really stunning what's going on here and how the media are covering up on every front, on every front. Where Beverly, a wonderful commentator on my blog and reports, has reported, Trump needs to bring his own makeup person. Notice how orange his face looked, but Biden, or that is Biden's body double face, had a normal complexion. The powers that be instructed the makeup person to make Trump look that way. Well, I think, in fact, it's a camera stunt that they perform using television to be unflattering to the president. But I reaffirm the visual contrast between the president and Joe Biden during the debate was awesome, where Trump was larger, more robust, had a more commanding presence. Biden, the Biden double, looked really kind of diminished. He looked grandfatherly, feeble, incapable of handling the job, the task that would be imposed upon him, as undoubtedly would be the case. We'll be right back and we'll take your calls to Mitchell. I'll repeat the number, but you can call in already, 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Call.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I have a couple announcements before I take my first caller, whom I'm very pleased to be, Giuseppe, which are the following. The False Flag and Conspiracies 2020 Conference has now opened its website. You can check it out at falseflagconspiracies2020.com. It's a beautiful website, which Jack Mullen and Stephanie Sledge organized for the conference. I think you'll really like it. This is a spectacular event. It's going to be on the 5th and the 6th of December. We went virtual, given all the hazards of COVID, the practical problems of getting in and out of Austin, Texas, the potential threat of a two-week lockdown. Who wants to spend 2 weeks at a Hilton hotel in Austin, Texas? So we now have it available for everyone to sign up. It'll be on a pay-per-view. I was, because of going virtual, able to add some additional speakers who are truly outstanding, including Ole Domegaard, who many regard as the best expert on false flags in the world today, and Art Olivier, who is a candidate for vice president on the Libertarian Party and 2000, and who's become quite an expert on his own on 9/11 and a host of other issues, where I featured him recently on the FETS Presents, where you can see our interviews at jimtheconspiracyguy.com. And he's astonished me with his knowledge of geometrica, numerology associated with these events, which are frequently planned long in advance. I think that the program is spectacular. Check it out, see what you think, and give me feedback. Meanwhile, one of our speakers, Sarah Westall, who's a rather well-known investigative journalist, and there are few of them left, has just sent me for immediate release, October 26, San Diego, California. 15 YouTube content creators filed a federal lawsuit against Google and YouTube, alleging in 17 claims for relief that Google and YouTube breached the terms of service and violated their First Amendment rights when they summarily deplatformed the plaintiff's channels and removed their content from YouTube without advance notice. The plaintiffs are the creators of YouTube channels, including Just Informed Talk, SGT Report, X22 Report, Space Shot 76, True Reporting, Red Pill 78, Edge of Wonder, Praying Medic, Amazing Polly, Woke Societies, Daniel Lee, Deception Buys, In the Matrix, are Destroying the Illusion, and Sarah Westall together. Together, their news and social commentary channels have reached more than 800 million views, and together they have had more YouTube subscribers than many net legacy news channels such as C-SPAN, The New York Times, and NBC News. Plaintiffs cite a recent study by the Pew Research Center that concludes that many Americans get their news from independent YouTube channels along the same metrics as legacy or traditional news sources. This is a most welcome development. I'll be posting this on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. Giuseppe, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Professor. It's amazing. And what's even better about that lawsuit is it was crowdsource funded. So people, the actual supporters of those fine freedom of speech advocates and independent journalists, were funded by the people. I mean, that's so good to see. And there's no way that they're not going to win that lawsuit. I mean, as I said on our Need to Know show last week, nationalize Google, nationalize Facebook, nationalize Twitter, nationalize Instagram, nationalize Amazon Media, break it off and keep, let the store be separate, and make them operate under the First Amendment freedom of speech, and they have no right to censor other than they're arrogant and they're beholden to the globalist parasites, as Henry Ford called the internationalist Jew, who's trying to force this world and into a new world order. Literally, they don't even hide it anymore, of a digital currency, of mandatory vaccines, of constant monitoring of your social credit score, of your health as far as vaccines, and make sure you're vaccinated up to date. Literally, it's the tyranny of a malignant minority, and good for them. Hopefully, this is just the first step in bringing down these despicable, spineless, cowardly techno nerds.
Oh, that's very well said, Giuseppe. I'm fascinated by all of this. The problem, of course, is that between the time these illegal and unconstitutional actions begin and the time they are taken into court is when all the mischief occurs. And because they were doing this in close proximity to the election, it obviously is not a matter that's going to be dealt with prior to the election. So they will have achieved their intended effect by depriving the American people of information they need to know before casting their votes. But that's a price we pay here in a society where Congress has been derelict about adhering to the laws and Constitution of the United States. In so many ways, it's Congress that has allowed these independent operators to get away with violating the rights of American citizens, which I find disgraceful beyond words, Giuseppe.
Well, the FCC commissioner is a despicable globalist who should have put an end to it when it first started happening. He did nothing. The Federal Trade Commission should have jumped in. He did nothing. Or she, I don't even know if it's a he or a she. Securities and Exchange Commission should have jumped in. There are a lot of ways, the way the government was set up, even 50, 60 years ago, that this should have never been allowed to happen. But the globalist control via money, where the traitorous Scalia wrote that ruling in the Supreme Court that money is free speech, which is so ridiculous, and shows how people like him are just propped up. And he was a clown, a weak mind, and everybody, oh, what a great, he's a textualist. No, he's just a political hack who is propped up, and everyone's kissing his ass and saying what a smart Supreme Court judge you are. And because of that, he got to really be one of the most activist jurists there ever was, which is ridiculous. And that brings me to the point of your first hour. And I'm just about done editing today's Need to Know, the Fetzer Report video cast in a few hours, and going all the way back to Scalia and his bullshit, which is, they've taken propaganda beyond propaganda. Now it's gaslighting, where they're actively lying and expecting you to believe their lies as reality. And I'm just so sick of it.
Oh, Giuseppe, you're going to be shocked by what I'm going to tell you right now. Some news has just published, health expert, mask wearing will remain mandatory even after a COVID vaccine. A top doctor who served as an expert witness for the U.S. Congress says that even after a COVID-19 vaccine is available, mask wearing and other social distancing measures will remain mandatory. This is just disgusting. I feel like there is this perception that once we have a coronavirus vaccine, life will get back to normal, tweeted Dr. Krutika Kupali. Life will not be like it was pre-COVID. Even after we have a vaccine, you will still need to use good hand hygiene, maintain physical distance, avoid crowds, and wear masks, she added. This is just rubbish. Rubbish, Giuseppe. I am shocked.
So, I would be willing to bet $1,000 that this buffoon Krutika Kupali is well positioned within the Gates World Health Organization vaccine decade long web. I bet you, I would bet any money that is that a man or a woman? Sounds like some type of Hindu.
It's a woman. She looks to be Indian.
Right. Right. And so she is just a plant. When you get a chance later, send me that story on Skype. I'd like to research her. But I bet you any money, she is just a Gates-like plant who's trying to push ahead, because her status and standing is dependent on being part of the whole Gates, WHO, loony train of mandatory vaccination. So, I mean,
Giuseppe, yeah. I just put it in Skype, but you can check it out, because I'd like to get further thoughts of yours about this. This seems to me so outrageous. Boy, if you want another reason for voting for Donald Trump, remember Joe Biden promised he'd make mask wearing mandatory across the country. And remember, wearing masks is causing irreplaceable, irreversible brain damage. I was projecting initially when we came through all of this, because of the damage being done to our brains, that the average IQ of Americans would drop by 5 points. Well, it may be far more catastrophic than that. Remember, as I mentioned before, Deagle.com, which has deep connections to the military-industrial complex, is projecting a drop in the U.S. population from 331 million today to fewer than 100 million less than 5 years from now in 2025. Just think about that. That means on the average, 2 out of 3 people to your left, right, wherever you go, are not going to be here in less than 5 years. I mean, it's staggering. Paul, I'm glad you're here. Join the conversation.
Yeah, full disclosure before I go on any rants, the big guy, Uncle Joe, isn't the only one that Ashley was taking showers with. Just we'll leave it there. So thanks for the chuckle, Giuseppe. I try. You know, when I heard that name that you read about that Indian, I knew immediately it was an Indian. You know, just I could tell their names, their weird names, as soon as I hear them or I see them written. I don't even need to see a face. And it just kind of reminds me of what it is they're doing. I mean, the doctor here in California that was behind that bill to make vaccines mandatory for school children and to not allow them, a way out of it. He was some Chinese guy. And the Jews just love to push all these foreigners, all these non-white Asian foreigners in our faces constantly. And it's just an ongoing psychological operation to keep the fear going because they know no matter what the reality becomes, and I have no doubt about their intentions. Okay. I have zero doubt. As Scorpio said many times, and I probably said it before he did, that they're not going to let this go. I mean, they're going to keep this going as long as they can because they love the fear aspect of it. They know that the average person is going to be both afraid of this new normal, this new reality, and they're going to not like it. They're going to dislike it. So they're doing two things what these people just love to do, which is to try to make us afraid and to make us upset all the time. I just despise them so much. I'm freaking sick of it.
Here's confirmation. On Dr. Krutika Capelli. She's a total propped up Hindu and part of the whole World Health Organization, Gates BS. She's a mouthpiece for pro-vaccination completely like that Satanist Dr. Paul Offit is up in Philly where he's head of the Philadelphia Children's Hospital. He's gone on record saying a baby could take 800 vaccines in a day and it wouldn't hurt them. And
oh,
this
my
is the
God.
Oh,
my God.
Yes, yes.
Giuseppe.
Yes.
That's insane.
Yeah, Dr. Paul Offit. We should do a show about that guy. And anyway, get this. This is hilarious. She's at her Twitter posting site. She goes, after months of hard work, our paper is finally out on the virology, transmission, and pathogenesis of SARS-CoV-2 in the latest BMJ, whatever that stands for. Who knows? It's some medical journal.
Probably British Medical Journal. Go ahead.
Okay, there you go. And so she's all proud. She's a Neil Ferguson-like buffoon, right? But get this, the next post below it is she goes, oh, I thought about not posting these, but I think it's important to see some of the awful messages I get sent to my personal account. Why do people think it's okay to send this? And then she posts the message, which is, stick your effing mask mandate up your ass.
I think that's spot on. Absolutely spot on, Giuseppe.
That is. That's absolutely right. I mean, you know, Jim, as we've outlined, and Paul's done some excellent research as well, these people are like little trained circus animals, right? Krutika Kupali just thinks about, what the models say and what we can do. Like the brilliant journalist John Rappaport, the iconoclast, all last week in a series of emails pointed out that this isn't science. This is they find a little snippet, and then they because the software is so the algorithms are so sophisticated, now you can – it's like creating movies. Everything looks real on a movie. The same movie screen, the same thing is true of these modeling things now. They just – plug it in and then the algorithms do the rest and they create out of billions or trillions of possible scenarios, they bring back ones where this is actually a real gene in nature and this is how it's going to happen. And that's what the modeling is. It's all speculation based on mathematical statistical manipulation. And so, but she believes it just like Dr. Paul Offit believes it, just like another lunatic is a man named Dr. Peter Hortez. I think he's out west somewhere, and he's the same way where kids can take hundreds of vaccines a year and never no problems. I'm like, they all live in their little bubbles. They're wealthy. Their rear ends are kissed by the fellow controlled pedagogues, and it's just insane.
And I will add to that.
Go ahead.
I will add quickly to that, and they absolutely must be wiped out. Wiped out. By the way, you guys should open your email. I just sent you Jim, you, Giuseppe, Scorpio, et cetera. A picture that I just saw on Yahoo News. It was a story about Trump on Yahoo News. And it confirms, you know, what Giuseppe was just saying about all this made up stuff, but in a picture form. It shows we're living in a cartoon world. Open the email that I just sent and you'll see exactly what these people believe. They believe that cartoons are real. That's what they believe.
That's it, man. That's exactly it. That's true. That's good.
It's nauseating. And this is the stuff that they put out there. So if you're looking at the picture, this is what they're doing to us. And the average person is so stupid that they don't know the difference between an animation and an illustration and a cartoon versus what? A hole in the ground, I guess, to use the old saying. I'm just beside myself sometimes. There's so many different things going on. I try to tune it out. But I would tell you a truthful little tidbit from my life because, you know, as I said to somebody recently, life is not without its irony. So I've been trying to get back and get a gig, get a job, get some more income, and throwing out resumes, right? So I got a call back, and one of the places I'm looking at is the security. I figure if I can get something, you know, maybe a swing shift, and I could get some gig somewhere. I don't have to deal with the public so much. Maybe just get a post and maybe make some rounds. I won't be bothered, won't have to be hassled about a mask, right? So I sent out like 4 or 5 resumes to different security companies here in the Bay Area. First call I get back, I get both an email and a phone message and a call from a recruiter of a fairly sizable company. And what's the gig that she wants to put me into? I swear to God, I'm not making this up. At the Apple computer campus, ready for this? Scanning people for temperature before they enter the building.
Oh, my God.
Talk about a match made in heaven.
Oh, God. And I just told her, I said, okay, first of all, I'm not interested in that. And second of all, nobody should have an infrared device pointed directly at their forehead because that's where your pineal gland is. And I don't claim to know all the science, but it's just not a good idea. So you could use it to scan your wrist, and actually your wrist is just an accurate of a reading, but I don't believe in any of that stuff anyway. And I dropped a few websites on her, and I gave her just a little bit of information. She's some stupid broad in her 20s. I could tell by her voice. You know, she's just some chick in human resources, right? And her final line to me was classic. It's just like sums up my life. She goes, well, we'll give you a call when we have something else.
Classic, man. That's it.
I guess all we can do is laugh about it because it is maddening.
Paul, I got to tell you, that's really what an absurd position for you. My God.
Yeah. How about the, like I said, life is not without its irony. Hey, Paul, here's your first job offer.
Well, the idea of permanent mask wearing is indeed a frightening prospect. But, I mean, you know, we're all going to be dead from wearing masks. I mean, they're a slow killer, which is why I think the Deagle has to have very good sources to be able to anticipate this amount of death brought about to the U.S. population in such a absurdly short period of time.
Right.
They will, and people will do it willingly. It's like a friend of mine who I've tried to reach a couple times. I bump into him now and then. He's a nice guy. He's not the brightest bulb, I'll give him that. But he's, you know, he's I've known him for a while, and you know, he's more or less a pleasant guy. But he's always wearing a mask, and I can see, you know, it's like some sort of a fabric. And I can see it just moving in and out with his breath. In other words, I can see the mask bubbling out when he exhales. And sucking in when he inhales. And I try to tell him, I go, look, you don't need to do this. He'll do it outside. Like I saw him the other day. He's in front of this restaurant that we both go to on occasion, sitting at an outside table with his mask on, breathing through his mask on a nice, pleasant fall day. And it's like, he's, oh, it's not so bad. Okay, man.
Oh, whatever. Man, that's just tragic.
Yeah, it's just people are becoming acclimated to it. A couple months ago, I had some guy, he was a friend of one of the neighbors outdoors working on his car in the afternoon wearing a mask. And I got into a brief conversation as I'm wont to do. And he's like, oh, you know, it's not that big of a deal. I really don't mind it. I go, where do you work? Costco. Oh, you wear it all 8 hours? He goes, yeah, I got it on all 8 hours. I'm like, all right, man, see you later. You know, what can you say to these people? They're just stupid beyond belief. And, you know, you can let them know. But as far as I'm concerned, the sooner they all die of self-asphyxiation, better for me. You know, less traffic. Sorry. That's the way I
feel. Yeah, there's a lot going on. I'm really, really pleased with this lawsuit about YouTube and Google. Very appropriate. And I mentioned that just before the debate, Newt Gingrich came on Tucker Carlson to report that a dozen Chinese communist experts on censorship had been brought by Google to their headquarters in Seattle to tweak their algorithms to impose more severe censorship right here in the USA. Unbelievable.
Well, I probably don't have the kind of hopes that maybe you or others might have for this lawsuit. A lot of when Giuseppe went on his little bit of a list there, when he talked about, you know, all these places, right? Google and Facebook and Twitter and so on and so forth. These were all directly funded by Intel, and probably right. the offspring of these companies have been also acquired. So, for example, for sure, zero doubt about it, that both Google and Facebook received funding from InQtel, which is a major, you know, funding organization, you know, from the CIA. So these are all basically Intel initiated and Intel ops ongoing. So that's kind of what you're dealing with. And since Google took over YouTube, I'm sure that's, you know, that's what's occurring there too. So as far as any lawsuit taken on the intelligence community with the kind of resources and the kind of teams of attorneys that can bring to bear, and the ridiculous, convoluted, arcane law that we have in this country, all I can say is, you know, good luck. I mean, their heart and their head is in the right place, but we're up against entrenched power that is not going to give up without a fight. And so, anyway.
Scalia, as I recall, was actually pretty strong on both the First and Second Amendment. I would expect that Coney Bryant would be as well.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, more than likely, and we've recently had a couple of good, you know, decisions come out. The one out of Colorado recently, where the district court out of Colorado ruled, granted an injunction against this so-called ban on gatherings at this church. So basically a couple of pastors of a couple of churches got an attorney and brought suit against multiple Colorado officials and multiple federal officials also, because they were linked, because Colorado received federal funds. Coming up, right?
You gotta hope for it.
We'll be right back. Paul, just have me stand by.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
He
travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Hey, Jim, you there?
I'm here.
Dean's here.
I think they've dropped.
Hey, Dean.
Yeah, I'm here, yeah.
You take the floor until we get Jim back.
Sure.
Dean, what do you think of the show so far? You've been listening?
Yeah, I've been listening since the end of the previous break, where he was talking about the issues with the war with Azerbaijan and Armenia, or the tensions, and about the crazy comments over COVID, saying that even after vaccines, it's going to go. Still going to go into social distancing and so on, even after vaccinations available. And it just got me thinking about Bill Gates. I mean, I've seen a couple of interviews with Bill Gates, and once upon a time, Bill Gates believed in overpopulation because he was presented to and he bought into it. And then later he admitted that someone came to him after the fact and essentially talked him out of overpopulation. And it seems like he's got bored with that ideology and has now moved to futurism over I know best. And but he was very interested in what he said when a number of the Far Eastern countries didn't have the fatality rate over COVID-19 that he wanted, and into Australasia, because they shut their borders rapidly and were very tight early on. He essentially said, "Oh no, this is so annoying. It's going to be until next time, until the world takes it seriously." So people like Gates, they don't want to let go of the countries where they had a little bit of an inroad. You know, they got their foot in the door with enough panic and enough reported casualties. And it's interesting to find out that he doesn't just pump money into the World Health Organization, places like that, but he's actually got this inventions lab with various high IQ people. The whole lot of them are futurists. I just seen an interview with one of the big inventors that works with him, and just his comments and frustration about how governments are stupid if there's no business model, inventions that can help, you know, save people and solve big problems for government. They're just not understood. We know best. We need to convince them. And the guy literally, not only do you talk about that, he literally just said, who cares about AI taking over mass jobs in the next 10 years? So what? Just become a trucker or a nurse. And just said, truckers make X amount in the US. But around the world, here's the thing, around the world, truckers and nurses and care work doesn't make much money. And it was almost the idea that you just raise the drawbridge. So it's governments corporations should take our inventions and give it, you know, give us the right to us to solve their problems for them. We have all the answers. And then it's stuff anyone else that gets in our way.
And you know what? You know what's funny, too, is there's very good evidence that the whole Ted Kaczynski Unabomber manifesto was just another psyop. But he's basically right when you actually get into the core of the sort of things that he was saying. And they weren't, you know, such original thoughts. But all these people are about is dehumanizing a society. And they want to take away from us what it is that we built. They didn't do anything. Okay, especially the elite and our rulers. Okay, they don't produce, they don't do real work. But what they like to think they can do is to tell us exactly how we should be living and how we are going to be living in the future, because they know best. And what they've done here, I know I can only testify as an adult my age here in California, but they're turning everybody in the economy into essentially chauffeurs and butlers and maids. You know, and essentially just what I would call servile occupations. You know, it's very difficult now for, you know, a white man to go out and do what it is you could have done a couple generations ago, which is get a good solid job with a good company, maybe in manufacturing or in some other capacity. And, you know, you could work it. And, you know, if you wanted to keep it, you could retire and get a decent pension. And all that has been destroyed. They want us all to be now Uber drivers and Lyft drivers wearing a mask, or DoorDash delivering food to people, and, you know, maybe truckers driving around things and, you know, working for Amazon. Now, the Craigslist out here is just riddled with these Amazon ads for working in one of their warehouses or working their delivery. And I've not experienced it, but I can only imagine the dehumanizing nature of it. And,
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Not to mention... Yeah, there he is.
I'm glad to have Dean back. Thanks for filling in, Mitchell. Good move. I got distracted by something related to dinner here. I just say it's ironic the guy would suggest, if, you know, AI taking over, just get a job as a truck driver. I mean, self-driving automobiles are one of the most likely future innovations we're going to have to deal with. So the idea that all this automation is taking over is just ghastly, because you're depriving human beings of jobs, and it's to save money by the manufacturers to increase their profits at the expense of the quality of life of human beings. And, of course, this all further reinforces their desire for reducing the world's population. Truly disgraceful.
Well, Dean brought up an amazing point. If you think about what Gates is doing, you have to look back at his, not only his life, but where he came from. His grandfather owned the Federal Reserve Bank in the state of Washington. His father, who just died a few weeks ago, his tongue was stained permanently brown from rectum licking the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and being their fixer and being the guy who took care of all the dirty business and knew every little way to cheat and steal and use the law to their advantage. And so here's Bill Gates, born literally a genetic psychopath, born 6 inches from home plate, who thinks he hit a home run. And this guy was so entitled, so elite, that in the 60s he went to a high school where they had access to $40,000 an hour, which in today's dollars would be a couple $1 million an hour, online access when nobody even knew what online was, to the IBM mainframes. And what did this guy do? What was his great claim to fame? He's a bright, bright guy. He figured out how to write a virus, right? That just shows what a psychopath, what a degenerate he really is. And so his model, because he had, you know, oh, Bill was so special. He dropped out of college and took this big chance. That's the apocryphal tale. The reality, he's filthy rich. His grandfather died. His trust fund came up, and he saw the opportunity to let me please finish for a second. And so what's going on with him is he hired the best people, yet Bill Gates' name is on all those patents. Bill Gates didn't do the patent. And now the same thing, which Dean just brought up, he's got this futurist think tank. Bill Gates is acting like he thinks these ideas up. He's just a psychopathic parasite who needs to be eliminated from this earthly plane.
Well, that's all Right, Giuseppe, and well said. Now, what struck me, however, is his early entanglement with the Rothschilds, because what we're getting from the whistleblower from Canada is a whole scam, appears to be a Rothschild World Bank International Monetary Fund right, operation right. to take control of the entire earth by this global research where they'll forgive all your debts, your mortgages, your student loans, your credit cards. In return for your agreeing to enter the program, they'll give you a guaranteed income and a guaranteed space to live and a guaranteed energy allotment, only the space to live is going to be 300 square feet. It's one of these little tiny cubicles. If you use up your energy, you won't get any more. And in order to become an entry, you have to agree to give up all of your private property and assets. Give up all your private property and assets. And if you do that, you are regarded as a public health menace and an enemy of the state, and they're putting you in facilities. These are Canadian FEMA camps, just like ours, and now we can see what they're there for, and where they're building at a pace unbelievable. The Canadians are at the disadvantage that they had restrictions on their right to keep and bear weapons because of a staged shooting, very much like Sandy Hook. At least we're going to make a fight out of it. I don't think we're going to go down without taking a whole lot with us.
Right.
We'd like to think that's true. And before Dean comes back on, I just want to add on to just what you were saying, Jim and Giuseppe, about the Rothschilds and so forth. I think it's worth noting, and again, I've not done the research myself, but what's his name? Dean Henderson was on the other night with Rents, and I got a good listen. And I've heard him before talking about the Crown. And, you know, the English royals and and how long it goes back and how the Rothschilds are essentially their front, their banking front. And he repeated something which I've heard similar claims before. He said that the largest landowner in the world is the Queen of England with 6+ billion acres all around the world. And that there's not even anybody that would even be considered a close second, that the close second, and I forgot what the name of that individual was, or that group, I think it was some Saudi royals or something, they own like a very small fraction of like 1% of what the Queen of England allegedly owned around the world in terms of land in the name of the crown.
Well, we're on a call with one of her subjects, Dean Metcalf. Is that true?
I know. So, yeah. That's why I threw it back to, that's why I said, okay, from our friend across the pond who may know some more things or have his own perspective on the royal family and the crown.
Yeah, Dean, go ahead and add your further thoughts.
I have a, shall we say, heavily summary level or high level view of the royal family in the UK. So essentially, the whole point of having a royal family of worth originates to the Anglo-Saxon kings, mostly because certain Anglo-Saxon kings eventually allowed for charters to be made while they were the monarchy. Now, they got replaced by Norman kings in 1066 onwards, who absolutely hated the people that they had just conquered and treated them awfully. And there were many awful events, such as the harrowing and so forth, but I won't turn this into a history monologue. From that moment forwards, although there was traditions passed through and there's momentum in things like King James Bill of Rights, etc., which is where you get your Second Amendment from, both Catholic and Protestant have the right to bear arms, for example, you come all the way to modern times and there's many power plays for the crown, including the House of Tudor. You get to the end and you end up with the current lot who have rebranded themselves Windsor. They are not of the tradition. They're only partly related to the Anglo-Saxon kings of the past. What you've got is a standing monarchy ever since the beginning. It's never been about the monarchy having its original meaning. There's always been a massive force of evil playing off against good in the behavior of the monarchy from 1066 onwards. So it's pointless to include the monarchy as some kind of worshipped institution. because it's just so watered down. It's just been such a hotbed of extremists.
Well, then, do you believe that the real ownership, the real money goes up higher to those so-called old families of Europe that don't allow themselves to be addressed on the internet? Is that who somebody has the ownership? So who do you believe it is?
Yes, because that I have three horsemen of the apocalypse in British history. And the first horseman of the apocalypse is a guy called Oliver Cromwell, Britain's first dictator who was not a royal. Since him, it was truly the end of that idea that everything's consolidated under the royals. And so, as you say, he also let the Jewish community back in after their coin clipping. And the coin production had to be moved to the Tower of London because it got so bad. So that's the moment when the Rothschilds grew out of the poorer Jewish people returning from Portugal, allegedly, not actually from the richer Jewish community coming back from places like Amsterdam. Yes. You then later have other people such as Winston Churchill, who got into debts and was paid off by a group called the Focus. The Focus was Jewish connected. You know, you go forward then to my third horseman, Tony Blair, who is a Trotskyite. So therefore, he is bought into a Jewish intellectual's generated ideology. So that is the if you want to trace the power, that's what happens. It goes into the banking system. And it splinters off between governing class and also monarchy. It's been heavily watered down.
Yes, if anybody is interested, you can go. And like I said, Dean Henderson has been on a guest on Rents many times and a few other places here and there. But he used to publish, I think he might still do it, if I'm not mistaken, something called the Left Business Observer. I remember my brother turned me on to the Left Business Observer probably in the late 90s or early 2000s. And it really is excellent. And Dean Henderson spent quite a bit of time talking about, as Dean just mentioned, how absolutely awful these people were to just the regular everyday peasants under their rule and so many of the things that they're behind. And he essentially pointed out that Gates and all these people are nothing more than the latest, you know, minions, Americanized, if you will, minions of these very, very wealthy crown families and Jewish money front, and that their agenda is as dastardly as it's always been.
But don't forget, I mean, Cromwell was non-Jewish, but he had radical religious beliefs. He wasn't a regular Puritan, and his beliefs involved Jewish people coming back to England. He felt it would be like a quickening of the second coming of Christ, a very unusual belief. But I mean, he's the problem that started all the Irish issues. He's the one that had that big campaign where they were nailing babies to church doors and things. You know, he was a bloodthirsty general that was made a political dictator. And that, you know, that's where your problems come in. A mix of local people signing up to ideologies and buying into outsider groups such as, you know, the movers and shakers within the Jewish community and so on.
Dean, I apologize for going back to something you were saying when I returned here. But was something about Bill Gates saying we'll give it another try when the public is more prepared to accept the lockdowns and all that? Was that what you were saying? Something about Gates.
That's correct. Yes, that's correct. So Bill Gates, in an interview, he basically was explaining how upset he was that certain countries did very well during COVID-19 and controlled matters. And he felt that it had weakened the seriousness that the pandemic was being taken with. And he felt like he was on the back foot. And he essentially said he wants to wait for the next pandemic so that he can essentially try again.
So just briefly, speaking of the United Kingdom...
Dean, just to pick up on this, is he admitting that this effort then has not been a success, that it's fallen short and he's going to have to back up and try again?
That's what he was alluding to. His claim is he wanted the Western world. He actually didn't list Vietnam in the countries when he rattled off all the countries that did well, which caused his downfall, which was interesting, which means I think it was very much steered towards what I'd call U.S. allies.
Well, it's a Five Eyes who seem to be the primary object of all of this complete effort to control the world: Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the UK, and the US.
Yeah, he was just unhappy with some of the countries doing well, and he just missed off Vietnam from the list, even though they were one of the best, which was interesting. Right. I thought.
Well, what?
That may have been by chance.
Dean, just for a further clarification, and then we'll get back to Paul. What did he mean by the countries who were doing well, the ones who were accepting the idea of a vaccination, mass social distancing, and lockdowns, or the ones who were thriving without?
Right.
The ones that were thriving because they locked down super early and stopped their borders.
Yeah. It's, you know, in the end, you know, no matter how you want to define it, it doesn't really matter. All we need to know is that, who is Bill Gates, and why do we always have to care about what he says, and why do we have to see his face on television? This is the stage play that we're being given. And just quickly, so here's this thing. I came across this article about what's going to go on down in Wales, right? So they're being told, and the title of this article is Short and Sharp, because that's how their leader there, First Minister Mark Drakeford, is characterizing this new proposed lockdown, short and sharp. And here's what he says. People will be told to stay at home and stay out of pubs and restaurants, hotels, and non-essential shops must close. Gatherings indoors and outdoors with people not in your household will be banned. Okay? He said it's for a time-limited firebreak, and it would be a, quote, short, sharp shock to turn back the clock, to slow down the virus, and to buy us more time. Okay? So this is what they're doing, and they're proposing it's going to start on November 1st, right? And,
who is proposing this?
This guy, First Minister Mark Drakeford of Wales, okay, who they're characterizing it as they're going to try to get ahead, right? This is what they're saying, a limited time firebreak, okay, to, quote, turn back the clock.
You know, that's
down
all
the virus.
Bullshit, of course. Limited time
is ridiculous. Well, of course we know.
Yes. Yes.
What's more interesting, I'm just going to do a quick summary of this guy is so good at writing the article, and here's what he says, because – and I love this. Hello, slaves. Are you ready for another lockdown? Which, by the way, is an expression that was formerly reserved for our prisons. Okay.
Yes.
But now it's going to be applied to you, a free-range criminal being guilty of nothing more than white, and we preferably want you dead. It's very important that you now hunker down until the syringe full of brain poison is ready to go. You'll be glad to take that injection once we're done with you. Then you can have your COVID pass, you contemptible sack of meat, and we will rule over you. We are the chosen ones of a desert idol that devours babies. Bow down to us, the Jews. We're going to keep you safe, Gentile. Isn't that great? I could go on, but that's the first paragraph, and I added a little bit of color to it. This is exactly what we're looking at, and I'm still
fascinated by what Dean was saying, that Bill Gates was essentially conceding that they aren't succeeding with this effort to take control of the entire effing world. I mean, Dean, if I understand you, he's actually admitting that this case, that they gave it a good try, but they're going to have to back up, reassemble, remarshal the resources and try again. Is that correct, Dean?
That's right.
Wow.
That's exactly what he was alluding to.
That's fascinating to me. And where was he making this admission?
I'm sorry, I've just seen the interview on YouTube. If anyone knows the reference,
please tell. That's fine. Obviously, it was recent.
Bill Gates has recently made the rounds in the U.S. and international media whining and complaining about anti-vaxxers, about people who don't trust the medical system, and he's really unhappy. It's really amazing to the arrogance of that propped up syphilitic rectum.
He's upset that people are catching on?
Yes, exactly right.
Did you hear about South Korea after last week's show?
with the flu shots.
Remember what Jim said? He said, oh, the best way to get flu is get the flu vaccine. And then when he said closing comments on his show, you, Giuseppe and myself, we basically made explanations about, oh, look after your immune system, health, blah, blah, right, in our closing statements. Very casual. It's just so comes out that after the Far East outside of China, you know, way Far East has done so well with the vaccine and into Australasia, with the COVID-19, some of the people in South Korea took the flu jab, including a 17-year-old who died 2 days later after it. Also a 70-year-old who died 1 day after having the vaccine confirmed. And then they immediately did a poll about after it, because there was in the Far Eastern community, you know how they all talk. It's a cultural thing. Families talk to power families, and it just spreads like wildfire. That essentially the mood in the streets in Korea, South Korea, is a worry for them, because what happened is they said if the COVID-19 jab comes out, how many people would take it in the Seoul area where these people were dying? 62% said, nah, not taking it, even if they say it's safe. Off the back of these deaths, and it's been all in the news in South Korea over the flu jab.
Well, months ago, when Dr. Judy Mikovits was on Revolution Radio, she laid out this exact scenario that the flu shots, all vaccines are contaminated, and they are the triggers. And if you get a flu vaccine, now that this SARS-CoV-2, whatever it is, this bioweapon is out, it is a trigger and it will kill you. And man, she is like Nostradamus in predicting this stuff.
Well, we have just time for a final word or two from each of you, but it's got to be very brief. We only got a few seconds apiece. Actually, Dean, I want to thank you for coming back. You're always welcome. Paul, you've made many valuable points. Giuseppe, you've done a masterful job as usual. And I'm so enjoying doing our Need to Know together, Giuseppe. Perhaps you could add for others where they could find our daily news update and analysis.
The daily news update is put on BitChute at Jim Fetzer, or on Need to Know, the Fetzer Report. It's on Brighteon. And we also broadcast live, and the times vary depending on when it's recorded and when it's edited. But you can get it on YouTube if you search Giuseppe, G-I-U-S-E-P-P-E, Vafangulo, Need to Know. It's on Twitter, at James Fetzer, and it's on Facebook. But your actual at your address, your actual Twitter address is at James Fetzer.
Oh, is it? Fascinating.
Yeah, it is.
Giuseppe,
it is.
Wonderful. Paul, Dean, I'm so glad you called in. I welcome you all. We'll see you again. I want to thank everyone for listening. Too much is going on. We got to keep our heads straight and know what the hell is happening so we can take appropriate responsive action. Save our nation. Save our souls.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.